This podcast is supported by listeners like you. We're grateful for your tax-deductible donation at newthoughtphilly.org or the link in the episode description.
A practical prayer is a prayer that works.
These discussions between Reverend Bill Marchione and Carol Lawrence dive into the details of how it works and how to work it.
Reverend Bill is a New Thought minister and the author of Practical Prayer for Real Results.
Your new life begins with a new thought.
Carol Lawrence is on a spiritual quest, finding the New Thought teaching after decades on the pulpit in three different traditional denominations.
I've got some questions.
Together, they're exploring the philosophy and activities that come together from many of the world's religions to create the practical spirituality that is New Thought.
Welcome to the Practical Prayer Podcast. I'm Carol, here with Reverend Dr. Bill Marchione. Hi, everybody.
Hey there. And we're going to talk about the ego. Apparently, we're going to talk about the ego some more, because we have talked about the ego before. But there's a little bit of confusion, and there are several different ways to think about the ego. And until you have clarity about it, we're liable to think about the ego using one framework or paradigm and get that mixed up with another one. And of course, that's game on. That's how Blake Edwards made all of those movies so funny. It starts with one misunderstanding and then it's a misstep after another.
Yeah. So you're going to clear all this out because...
Are you kidding? No. Then we wouldn't have another episode of the movie. Yes. We will definitely bring some clarity to our understanding of the ego. So I would like to have you start by talking about your understanding of ego, either in the good old days when you were in traditional religion or in the newfound days of New Thought, or what happened when you made the switch between them. And then we'll zero in on what to talk about next.
Okay, so I'll talk about it when I call it across the street in traditional church religion. It was when you thought better of yourself than you really were. When you were very competitive, you wanted to beat the next guy out. We were better than you beat the other guy out. And you would want, actually, covetousness would have covered this a little bit better, but, you know, you want what somebody else has. And so you do everything you can do to either steal what they've got or have what they've got or whatever. You know, it was just all in that kind of understanding. And because of that, I actually took great pride. Like, I'm putting this out there. I took great pride in saying that my ego was under control. Well, it was easy for me to say that because I never saw anybody have what I wanted.
And there you go.
That's the honest to goodness truth, you know. And I was around a lot, and it was never any work or ministry that I saw that I wanted. Mine was extremely exclusive as far as I was concerned. So it was no reason for it. If I had this terrible thing of ego, it just was sleep, I thought. And so Then I met you, and you're speaking in New Thought language, and you're using the ego, and you're saying, a couple of times you said you have to get rid of the ego. And I'm thinking, first of all, my ego, I haven't seen it, you know, maybe since I was two. I don't even know what that looks like. And what are you talking about? But I figured, you know more than me, so I'll just sit there and wait, and it'll unravel eventually. So I did understand that there is a different understanding, definition, because everything has a lexicon. So the ego means something a bit different on this side of the street in New Thought. But then maybe, before we get started, maybe I'm going to say that maybe not a whole lot. Maybe I just was looking at it through a very small lens, because there's something in the Christian church labeled the carnal man, you know, which might be exactly what you're going to explain. But anyway, it would be good for you to just put this in context.
It's possible. I may explain it. I may not explain it. So we'll start with basic psychology. Ego is the sense of self. It's what tells me who I am. And there are a lot of reasons that it's good to have an ego. My joke is that if you have a whole bunch of people with zero ego attachment, zero sense of self, zero need to claim their own existence or domain, you'd never be able to take attendance. The person taking attendance would say, Carol, and you'd say, I'm okay being Carol or not. I'm not attached to being Carol. And you wouldn't raise your hand and help them. So in the most basic sense, that sense of identity, that sense of self that tells us who we are, that I'm in here, is important and valuable. When the ego gets puffed up and starts to take itself a little too seriously, as you were talking about, it's when I want something that somebody else has, and I think that I'm better than somebody else, and I'm going to try and use the tools at my disposal here in life to take the stuff that I want, or to move the pieces around so that they are fashioned in a way that I enjoy. That's the usual rap about the ego. So on the one hand, everybody has one, and it's very important to have one. And as you were talking before, keeping it in balance, not letting our egos take stuff away from us or get completely crazy, because then our lives become pretty much unmanageable. And that's all on the human, physical, walking around level. The part that we need to watch out for in New Thought is the spiritual context of our ego. And when we talk about where the ego gets a bad rap in New Thought is, I'll give you the scenario. So we have this prayer technique, which is pretty simple. And anybody can learn it. There's 5 steps, maybe 7. And in any area of our lives, we can use that practical prayer technique to create a new experience in our life. So, and I'll use an example of prosperity. So somebody is having a challenge with their prosperity. There's not enough money in the bank. It's the first of the month, and I'm really aware of it because I don't know how I'm going to pay for the, I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul and doing all of those other things. We do a prayer. And the first step in the practical prayer is to acknowledge that there's an infinite creative power that creates everything, limitless abundance. Okay, this is the power that creates galaxies. Okay, and the second step in the prayer is where we identify that that power has created everything, and that everything includes me. So I am part of this one infinite creative power. And because I have conscious awareness, I'm using that same creative power to create the next experience of my life. So basically, in the first two steps, the recognition and unification steps of a practical prayer, we are putting ourselves on the team with the infinite creative power that creates everything. And then we affirm or realize our new truth. We say, I'm prosperous. I have plenty of money to pay the rent, to save, to share, to spend. I am in the flow of that limitless abundant goodness. I am prosperous, and there's no reason that I can't be. So I'm claiming my prosperity. And we're doing that in partnership with that infinite creative power that creates everything. And then we end the prayer with gratitude. I'm grateful for the good that's coming about. I'm grateful for the transformation, whatever we're grateful for. And I let it be. And I know it's so. And what we're doing in that process is we are taking that idea of our prosperity and putting it into the creative law that creates everything. And before you know it, what happens is a check shows up, or somebody drops by the house to pay you back for something that you forgot they owed you for. Or somebody desperately comes over saying, I need somebody to help with this work. You're perfectly talented and skilled for it. Can you come and help me out? And this is what it pays. And it pays twice as much as you needed and were expecting that you could have. And suddenly that prosperity happens. And that's just the way it works. That's just the way it works. And I hear you say, you're not talking about ego at all yet. And that is correct. I have not mentioned the ego part yet. Because what happens once we learn to do that, once we do that powerful prayer, and we create that new experience of prosperity in our life, and we're not limited there. We get new relationships that are happening in our life. We get new work that's showing up. We get new opportunities to do stuff. Our health and vitality gets wonderful. We get a free gym membership because somebody wanted to go to the gym, didn't want to go by themselves. All this good stuff starts happening. And the most dangerous thing that happens then is that I think, I'm creating all this great stuff. That's where we're talking about ego. It is not me doing it. Mm-hmm. That first step in the prayer is identifying an infinite creative power and then identifying that I am part of it. If I slip into thinking that I'm doing the changing, that I'm doing the creating, then not only have I missed the point, but I'm undermining the possibility of it continuing to work for me. So we need to let our ego get out of the way and not think that we're doing it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Jesus did not say, the Father and I are one. When you see me, aren't I cool?
You are on today. Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. But let me see. So you're, yeah, okay. It's not, that kind of reminds me of what you talked about two podcasts back. And then we touched on last time when you talked about God is the manifester. And I'm like, oh my God, that like, now what? You know, I thought we were co-creators, but it kind of put things into perspective. And what you said even puts it in further perspective. So as a co-creator, there really isn't any room for the ego. Would that be a fair thing to say?
It doesn't help.
Yeah.
There's room for the ego in that we can convince ourselves that we're doing it. And when we do that, it can be a huge distraction. So there's no need for the ego. The only requirement is to understand that we're involved in this big creative process. You know, my nephew's an electrician, and he can get the wires and the transformers and the things and the stuff and set it all up and have a perfect electrical circuit. But if it's not hooked up to power, nothing's going to happen. Mm. He could be the best electrician in the world. Nothing's going to happen unless it's connected to the power.
Okay, so one can be as gifted, as highly gifted as ever you can imagine, and nothing can happen if it's not connected to the power of God and the being in alignment. I think that's a good thought to connect to this. Yeah, sure. I get that.
There's lots of metaphors, you know, the fastest sailboat in the world. No wind, not going anywhere. Doesn't matter how good a sailor you are. Then you're talking about how good a sailor you are. If there's no wind, you're not going anyplace. The okay. wind blows, you can let it carry you faster than anybody else, but it's still the wind that's doing the work.
So without the wind, you can see like I'm backstepping through this. So without the wind, without the power, you only have the ego. Right?
Yeah, if we're claiming that the wind is coming from us, then that's our ego talking. No, the boat is not moving because of us. The boat is moving because of the way that we're working with that power.
Okay. So then how would one know if their ego is what I used to call out of control? Because you're not going to kill it.
This spiritual practice tends to be, I think, a little bit self-regulating, because what will happen is we'll have an experience in our life and then we'll get into the spiritual context of it. We'll do the practical prayer. We'll get ourselves out of the way and invite in something new and acknowledge that this infinite creative power is going to do it. And then something wonderful happens. And then there's a spiral. We have this new good experience in our life, and the same sort of thing comes around again, but it's either more subtle or more insidious or more difficult for us to deal with. It's the same issue. It's the same thing coming up again. And what we need to do, what we're invited to, we don't need to do anything. We can continue hitting our head against the wall as long as we want. What we are invited to do is surrender. To let go of the thought that we already knew what the answer was going to be, so that we can open more fully to that infinite creative power and allow something new. Now, it's the old question. You ask people, would you rather be right or happy? Mm-hmm. And the ego says, I want to be right and happy. Or I want to be happy because I'm right. And that's just a perfect example. When the question is, do you want to be right or happy? It's like, I want to be happy. Well, we might have to let go of being right in order to get to happy. And are we willing to do that? You know, and it's easy for me to say, well, of course, that's what we have to do. And it's not easy. It is not easy. This stuff that we think we're right about, it's not trivial. It's ingrained in our life. Of course I'm right. How could I be wrong about that? About them, about her, about it. How could that investment have possibly been a Ponzi scheme? Whatever.
So then, I mean, that's perfect. So how do you know when the ego needs to be reined in a bit, you know, because we're out here doing stuff and we know how to do stuff. We know what we're good at and all of that. How do you know when it's, as some might say, when it's God or it's you?
I'm ad-libbing this a little bit, but throughout, and I'll speak personally, throughout my life, things have been going along, working really well, and then something will happen, and there's either a disagreement or a conflict, or it starts going sideways, and it's not working the way that it had been working, and it's not nearly as much fun as it used to be. And there's that feeling. And it's a little bit exasperation, it's a little bit frustration, it's a little bit anger, it's a little bit sad. It's like all the grief things. It's like, oh, this was going so good, and now, nah. When that feeling comes along, it's time to look at our ego. Because for whatever the surrounding activity is, it's happening again. The same thing that caused those feelings, the same combination of experiences and perspectives and understandings and judgments that made us feel that the first time or the first 100 times that we felt, oh, this isn't working. The same combination is coming around again. Mm-hmm. And the thing to do then, instead of what our ego tells us, which is double down, grab hold, bring this back upright, force it into alignment, is to breathe out, let go, and say, what next is possible here? Because we get to do that surrender at a deeper level. And that's letting go of our ego. And that leaves a whole lot more room for that infinite creative power that creates everything, that, by the way, has created this next learning experience that we're having to guide us and inform us as to what we can do next to bring the gleeful, joyous experience that we want into our lives.
So then, on the 10 steps to getting your ego under control.
Oh, it's not just 10, but yeah.
Yeah, the 10 major ones, maybe that's okay. So one of those is letting go.
Yep.
Maybe of your own idea, your own way of normally doing it and getting things the right way. Just let it go. Is that what you're saying?
Make it sound so simple, but yeah, let it go.
Well, it can be simple. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends on your threshold. Depends on your threshold for pain.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's take a break. And when we continue, we'll talk about those white knuckles that clamp onto what used to be wanting it to come back. It's Reverend Bill letting you know that the Practical Prayer for Real Results class is now available on demand. That's right, you can take it at your own pace, anytime you want. All of the information is at BeTheLight.com. That's B-The-Light.com. You know where to find that stuff. The class is 5 lessons, broken down into 18 modules, and you can take them at whatever pace is comfortable for you. As you work through the process, it starts out with the theory, goes into the practice, there are experiential activities and exercises, and at the end of the program, you will wind up with an understanding of how practical prayer works, and a practical prayer for yourself that will work to create transformation in your life. And as you know, it works for everything. Take a look at the class online at BeTheLight.com. There's a sample lesson so you can see how the class is going to work for you and then dive in. The great news is it's on sale now. You can register and save $20 off of the regular price. I'm looking forward to seeing you in class.
Welcome back to the Practical Prayer Podcast. I'm Carol. We're here with Reverend Bill Marchioni.
We're talking about ego, the pros and cons. And on the one hand, everybody needs an ego because it lets us understand who we are in the world. And when we think that we are, we are one with the infinite creative power, but we are not in charge of it. So we are able to channel and accept and allow that infinite creative power to create new experiences in our lives. And it does wonderfully. And it is as we partner with it rather than as we try and control it, because we are not in control. We have an advisory position.
I like that. Yeah, I've been on point with that one because, you know, I would often say, even on the other side of the street, listen, God, I have an idea here. Now, I know you know what to do, but just in case, you know, you need some clarity, this is what I have, suggestions that I have. Yeah.
A friend of mine likes to say, I look forward to seeing how God is going to work this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's the same thing about opening and allowing and making space. There's a classic scene in the original Karate Kid movie where Mr. Miyagi is trying to catch a fly with the chopsticks. And then the Karate Kid does, of course, he says, beginner's luck. If you are trying to catch a fly, then it's a supreme act of dexterity to do it with chopsticks. If you're trying to get a drink of water and you're using chopsticks, your ego has led you astray. That is not going to help. And that's what happens, is our ego tells us, I can do this, and I can do it the way that I've been doing this, and I'm good at this, and I can make this happen my way. And that's when it's time to let go. That's when it's time to surrender the thought that the way that we've been doing it or the way we want it to happen is not serving us, and get back into that partnership with the infinite.
Mm. So it's really getting a clear perspective, not just on who we are, or understanding who we are, and we can get a little out of control or a little, you know, whatever, but also understanding who the God, spirit, universe, you know, the big one is, and how we are in partnership with this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very subtle. We're not in charge in our relationship with the infinite. We're not in charge of the relationship. I've brought that up before, that if we think that there's something we can do to displease God, like if I do this, it's going to make God angry. Well, there's a huge ego-based assumption that I can do something to make God feel something. And that would put me in charge of the relationship because now I can control how God feels. And that's just not the case. Mm-hmm. So, no, it's about letting go of that too. So, no, God is not going to get mad. I might get mad because I've disappointed myself, but it's, you know, I'm just trying to bring God in as an accomplice to help in my personal self-beating.
That's a huge belief system to undo right there. You spoke of it just so simply. Because you know this stuff. I keep telling you, you know this stuff. But that's a huge one to get over. Because it's
we've been talking really about that since episode number one. So we're 147 episodes in, and it's still the same thing because it's still huge. It's still like that's the big thing.
Yeah. Hard to let go of. It's quite a pleasure to let go of it. I mean, if you can just take a breath, you know. So, I mean, it's a moment by moment growth, I think, in that regard. But once you get that, then I mean, you can really sail pretty well because It's not like you have to be afraid of God if you go this way or that way, even when, you know, a lot of mistakes we make, including with the ego, okay, until we understand it, are mistakes. And some of them are regrettable, some not so regrettable. But it really takes a huge weight off of you to know that not only because you screwed something up that you didn't, whether you understood it or not, but then now you don't have to worry about like this divine power coming after you when you least expect it to make you pay for the mistake. So this thing is huge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, a little metaphor is that you're driving down the street and you make a right turn and you go down and you're starting to not be familiar. And then you wind up at a dead end. And if we think that God is punishing me by giving me this dead end, then we've missed the point. No, we made a turn that we would prefer not to have made. And we can go retrace our steps for a while. Maybe if we didn't have the GPS on, we could turn it on and figure out how we got to where we are. And then if we're really doing well, the next time we're driving down that street, we're not going to make that same right turn. Mm-hmm. We're going to turn a block ahead or a block past or wherever it is that goes through the dead end so that we have learned something and we have actually gone through some personal growth. And the biggest reason not to blame God when something doesn't go our way is because if we just blame, oh, God didn't want me to have it. Well, that's the end of the process. There's no learning. You know, mm-hmm. The result of that is I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing until God gets it and does what I want.
Yeah.
And when I phrase it that way, it's pretty obvious it's not going to work.
Yeah, but that, you know what, just bears repeating what you said. There is no learning in it. And that's so important because, I mean, yeah, sometimes people keep doing the same thing. But listen, when you just keep banging your head and there's another possibility, there's another way. Again, your threshold for pain here mm-hmm. really matters. And when you talked about going down the street and making turns, a dead end, I was at the ocean yesterday. And there's an area that we go to that no matter what street you go down, it's a dead end. Because, I mean, if you go through, you're going to go into the...
drive into the Atlantic, yeah.
Yeah.
So then dead ends are good.
They're good. But it feels odd. You know, I guess maybe it's odd to somebody from Philadelphia. It feels odd not to be able to turn, to know that you can't make a turn and then go around a block and get yourself righted again. You can't do that. And when you said that, I noticed as we were driving yesterday, I'm thinking, well, all these streets are dead ends. Well, that's a pretty good idea. But yeah, it makes the point because you learn. You know, you learn. There simply are no dead ends from Absecon Island all the way to the Bogota. There's no turns.
And maybe no right turns. Maybe it's language. Maybe it's not a dead end. Maybe the road ends with an ocean view.
I like that.
It's about how you look at it. Let's take another break, and then we're going to do a prayer, and it's going to be on opening to what's new, and especially allowing, which is the technique that we get our ego out of the way.
Mm.
Learn to put practical prayer to work in your life. The steps are simple to learn and let you begin to get real results to create the life of your dreams immediately. Reverend Bill Marchione's widely acclaimed book, Practical Prayer for Real Results, gives you a clear summary of the new thought principles behind practical prayer and the series of easy-to-understand steps found in the most effective prayers from religions and spiritual practices all over the world and throughout history. Practical prayer is not a replacement for your religion or practice. It's a technique to make the work you do in consciousness even more effective. The book includes 40 prayers on various topics that you can adapt as needed and use as your own. Practical Prayer for Real Results is available in paperback, Kindle, and audiobook on Amazon or at b-the-light.com. b-the-light.com. That's b-the-light.com.
Welcome back to the Practical Prayer Podcast. I'm Carol, here with Reverend Dr. Bill Marchioni.
We've been having a wonderful conversation about ego, the pros and cons, and how to know when our ego is trying to control us and take us away from the spiritual center that we have and the growth that's possible. So that's what the prayer is going to be about today. And again, the ego is not bad. The ego is necessary, but the ego is also not what's going to be creating that next new experience that we're having in life. And it's kind of insidious because if our ego thinks it knows, if we think we know how something's going to work, then we can get attached to the how and not be involved in what we want to have as to be the outcome of the experience. We get ourselves distracted. So as a very simple exercise, I invite you to take a deep, full breath and hold it at the top. Now take another deep breath in. And you'll find that you can't because you're already full. There's a little more room, but you need to release. Let go. Take a deep, full breath out. And let that make way for something. Now there's the possibility of another deep, full breath in. And as we continue doing that, as we continue to being open to something new, letting go of what's already been, releasing our attachment, in other words, getting our ego out of the way, thinking that that breath that we just took is the be-all and end-all, and that's all we need to do, and just let that oxygen keep on supplying us, it doesn't necessarily work that way. So I invite you to close your eyes if you're comfortable doing that, or go to a soft focus. And that lets us turn away from the details and the specifics and the indicators in the world around us. And lets us open our inner eye to the possibility of what's new. And we know the sorts of things that we'd like to be experiencing in our lives. Sometimes it comes up like a catalog or an Amazon page or a search of what's the way I want this to look and what's the fashion that would suit me and what are the specifications that I like. And that's all possible. And when we breathe out, when we release, when we allow, instead of looking at the specifics and the color and the size and the shape and the price, and we consider how we're going to feel once we are having the experience of having this new thing, what we're actually doing is allowing an awful lot of room to maneuver so that the infinite creative power that creates everything can bring that into our experience. And it might be how we thought it was going to happen, and it might be completely different. It's the magic of the breath out. That's the power of allowing, letting go, opening to what is new, and inviting that infinite creative power, that divine source that shares itself as all of its creation, God, spirit, nature, the source, the creator, the Big Bang, whatever it is that we call it, that one has created everything. It has created each of us. And it is fully poised and prepared to create this newness in our lives. And as our ego puts down the spec sheet of how it's supposed to happen and what the schedule is supposed to be and what the dimensions of the shipping container are going to look like, as we release our attachment to the specifics, we open to the possibility of that newness, that grandeur, that wonder coming into our lives. And that infinite creative power that creates everything, that has created us, is creating that newness for us, through us, as us, right now. Sometimes it happens faster than we can possibly imagine. Sometimes there are curious delays that we can't explain until way after the fact. Sometimes there are things that we get to learn along the way. And still, by engaging in this process, by letting go of what has been, of letting go of our judgment and the thought that we know how it's supposed to happen, and settling into the awareness of that creative power that's creating this newness for us and how that newness feels once it arrives, then the infinite does its thing and the good unfolds. And it's different for each of us. This is the same prayer for everyone who's listening to it, but it shows up differently in everyone's life. It is a co-creative process. And I'm grateful for the way that it's unfolding. I'm grateful for the good that's coming about. I'm grateful for the awareness of this creative law. And I'm grateful to know that the law is already responding and this goodness is already at hand. And so with a deep feeling of thanks for all of this good and the good still on the way, I speak this word and release it into that same creative law. And I know that it's already saying yes. And so I let it be. And so it is.
The Practical Prayer Podcast with Reverend Bill Marchione and Carol Lawrence is a production of BeTheLight.com.
BeTheLight.com.
Where you can find more information about practical prayer for real results.
Our theme is by Music of Wisdom. You can learn about the spiritual community of New Thought Philadelphia with daily guided meditations,
weekly celebrations of spirit,
and Reverend Bill's classes in practical spirituality
at newthoughtphilly.org.
This podcast is supported by listeners like you. We're grateful for your tax-deductible donation at newthoughtphilly.org or the link in the episode description.